My name is Floyd. My name is Floyd. My name is Money Mayweather.
The podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right. I truly believe is right.
Yes, 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 yes. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another spontaneous edition of TBV. So hashtag TBV podcast, wherever hashtags are used to stay up to date to the conversation. Today's topic is going to be breaking news. Kell Brook, the special one, special, is back. March 3rd, I believe. So for the new year, Kell Brook will be campaigning at super welterweight. Known to the common folk as junior middleweight. No, middleweight, not middleweight. Junior middleweight. Jeez Louise. Anyway, we're going to give you all the details, exactly who he's facing. We know he's a bit of a star in boxing, so we want to treat him as such. We'll give you all the details, who's he facing and who he should have been facing, and just our overall thoughts. Let's head on out to the Golden State, 2-1, the hipster, Hunter.
Dollar DiBiase production.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Thompson. How do you feel about it?
Fuck yeah. Conor McGregor.
BoxingVoice.com.
You know me, Larry. From a wicked entrance, from a flip over the rock, in the knockout. When the main thing is, I just know the guy. I wish.
BoxingVoice.com.
Yes, the hipsters here. Haters beware. And we might have some haters about this matchup. Kell Brook is officially fighting Sergey Rabchenko. I know.
Who the fuck is that guy?
I know. I don't know who he was at first either. And then I had to go on BoxRec, of course, and refresh myself.
The Bible.
The Bible. The Gospel of Boxing. And, you know, I was obviously reminded of the fight he had with Tony Harrison. That was on the Carl Frampton Leo Santa Cruz card, I believe the first fight they had. And also Mike Garcia was on that card. Paulie Monology was on that card. There was some good fights on that card. And I do remember Tony Harrison beating Sergey Rabchenko and actually getting the TKO win. I think for a lot of people, because of Kell Brook's name, the more casual you are, the more you may not like this matchup. For us hardcores, for us hipsters, so to speak, you know, we know when a guy needs a tune-up, when he needs a very soft touch, and this is that soft touch. So is this the right fight for Kell Brook and his comeback? I think so. Can't wait to chop it up with you, Ness. Can't wait to chop it up with the callers, see what the gauge is on this fight is, and to see if really anyone cares about Kell Brook right now. Because right now, you know, when I was talking to a casual fan earlier about this fight, they said to me, and I quote, "I don't care unless he's fighting Amir Khan." So, with the public even...
Yeah, that's unfair.
Yeah, but you know what the casual fans are. This was a deep casual fan. It happens. You know, will they even...
I mean, to be fair, it's Amir Khan holding that fight up, I do believe. And, you know, like I said, it's unfair to say that, but...
Whoa, hold on. I don't think what the casual fan is saying is unfair. If they only care about that Amir Khan matchup right now for Kell Brook, then of course they're not going to care about Sergey Rabchenko. You know, the knockoff, you know, alias of Lomachenko's evil twin, you know? Like, no one's going to care about this matchup unless you're hardcore. And even if you're hardcore, you only care because it's Kell Brook.
You know that his maiden name isn't even Sergey Rabchenko. I guess his real name is so bad, they just gave him a new name to use in English. But I'm going to have Jeffrey try and pronounce his maiden name.
Sergei Rabchenka.
Sergei Rabchenka.
It wouldn't be his maiden name. It would be his birth name, by the way.
Birth name, birth certificate, what's on the documents. What's on black and white is he lost to Tony Harrison.
And Anthony Mundine.
And Anthony Mundine. Mundine is old. You know, you're losing to Mundine these days.
Yeah, but it wasn't these days. That fight was, I think, before the Tony Harrison fight. Even.
It was in 2014, only 3 years ago. When's the last time Mundine's been young? Stop it.
When was okay,
3 years ago doesn't make Mundine young either. but let's be real. 3 years ago, he also beat Clady and fucking Mosley, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
but
he was at least somewhat relevant at that time.
Listen, there's not many of us watching this because not many of you care, obviously, about Kell Brook. Our morning UK audience will wake up and be happy and pleasantly surprised to find some Brook news. But you still should be hitting that thumbs up button. Why? Because me and Matt are here working at OT.
And but not actual overtime, you know.
Yeah, that's why I called it
OT. /TheBoxingVoice to catch that.
That's why I called it OT. But anyway, I'm going to switch to the thumbnail. So if you're watching this, if you're not watching this and you're listening to this on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, here on YouTube, we're displaying a thumbnail that is showing a tweet from Kell Brook's verified Twitter. And he says, "I'm back, baby." Well, bebe, because he spells it B-A-B-Y. And, you know, he has the accent. So it's more like, "I'm back, bebe." You know, hashtag 154. Hashtag rise again. I like the biblical term there, Matt. What do you think about him going in the bag, kind of, you know, resurrection, New Testament, Jesus Christ? I mean, they even got the gold, you know, kind of like coming from underneath him, and his gloves are glowing in this, I don't know, gold-like shadow. Fitting music. Fitting. Almost godlike, I must say. And it's called Rise Again. Good title, good poster. I'm loving it. What do you think of his narrative?
Great hashtag. I definitely think when you're having a comeback fight or a comeback, you know, trail, you need to establish a narrative around it. That does help the fans come back into your good graces in a sense, because then they want you to succeed. They want you to come back. Because they want you to, quote-unquote, resurrect your career, quote-unquote, rise again, whatever it is. So I think it's good. Good marketing.
Really quick, just to keep the show interactive, Khalil D. says, "At the Boxing Voice, do you think that Kell will be the same after the Spence loss, or is his career done?" Obviously, we don't know. We can only speculate. And
that soundbite, I gave you the time. I played a soundbite you could play. We don't know.
I know, but I'm just saying, look, you're better at that than me. You're on point. Right?
You didn't give me that soundbite, by the way. You need to send me that one.
The point is, we don't know. And it's going to take a fight to show us. It may not be Rabchenko.
It may be, though. I'll put it this way. If he struggles against Rabchenko, then there's definitely something to, wow, those two fights with Triple G and Spence back-to-back, they definitely did their number on Kell Brook. He's not the same, because that does happen. Sometimes the fighters change overnight, so to speak. That does absolutely happen. We can tell if it's against Sergey Rabchenko, but we probably won't, to be honest.
No, but you're right. I was going to go there, and again, just credit to why we work well together. I was going to say he might get through this one, and we still don't see shades of him being done or anything like that. And he might get through this one, and we do see shades of that. What I do want to make note of is that when we pondered the thought of Kell Brook coming back, I mentioned Tony Harrison. And as you can see from the thumbnail, Tony Harrison immediately tweeted back at Kell Brook and said, if something falls through, I'm a call away. Just letting Eddie Hearn, who he added, and Kell Brook, who he also added, that if Rabchenko, for whatever reason, a guy Tony Harrison already faced and defeated, cannot make the fight, gets injured, pulls out, Harrison is a phone call away to step in. And I originally told Eddie with you here on the show, that that was the route I would have liked to see Kell Brook go. With Kell Brook getting all that U.S. exposure, the Gennady Golovkin, the Errol Spence fights, his name spilled over in America, it would have been good to continue that because he could easily take a Tony Harrison to the U.K., still please the Sheffield fans and the U.K. public, but at the same time, keep the U.S. interested. By sliding in as Sergey Rabachenko, no one cares. No one cares.
A Tony Harrison level fight or a Tony Harrison exactly could be next, though. It could be after Rabachenko. Like, it could, I'll put it this way. Put on the promoter hat for a second. If I'm Eddie Hearn, this is the smart move. When you're really concerned about what Kell Brook is in 2018, going into 2018, you want him against Sergey Rabachenko.
Matt, Robert Guerrero went through the meat packing district in New York in terms of the opposition he was in with. Now, some might say this is why Eddie is a better promoter than others because...
Say that. Hold on, very quickly. Remember, Robert Guerrero was always a good B-side. Kell Brook is an A-side at one point. Wait, am I wrong? That Robert Guerrero wasn't a great B-side? And Kell Brook has, you know, main evented multiple events in the UK.
Wait. I'm still laughing. Hold on. Was he an A-side versus who? Jojo Dan and the other guy in between, after Jojo Dan or before? Like Kaiser Sose?
And a main event fighter.
After
Sean Porter. He was a main event fighter and an A-side all the way after Sean Porter. To the UK.
My friend.
Come on, fam. You obviously are trying to downplay Kel as a star and a drawing.
No. I'm here doing a show at 11 o'clock at night East Coast time, so I obviously believe in his stardom. What we cannot do is allow you to spread false information. He was a B-side coming into the Sean Porter fight. He had to come from one country to another. Then when he won the title, remember, he went on his version of the Bum of the Month Club. Yes. So then his big fights, he was also the B-side. With Earl, he was the B-side, and with Gennady, he was the B-side.
How was he the B-side against Earl but made Earl come to the UK?
Because he was the favorite.
Oh, okay, that's funny.
Earl was the favorite.
Favorite does not mean A-side or B-side. You know that, Ness. Those are not the two things.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not going to argue with you because you're right. Listen to me. I'm not going to argue because you're right. You know, popularity, even though, you see, it can be argued because popularity will indicate split. But in that particular instance, you know, it was a mandatory. I still feel it's debatable who was the A side. Your man was coming off a loss and a broken orbital bone, while the other one, the world thinks he's the future. So,
whose name was first and whose country was the fight in?
The country was over there because he held the belt hostage. You had to go take it.
Did he not come to the U.S. to take that belt?
Let's not get carried away.
Again, you compare him to Robert Guerrero.
Earl already did what he said he was going to do. Let's not get carried away and get off topic.
Let me finish, though. The reason why he has a different path than, let's say, Robert Guerrero is because Al Haymon knows that Robert Guerrero is not his number one potential welterweight. He knows it's a Keith Thurman or Danny Garcia or Sean Porter. That's why you saw Robert Guerrero featured against those guys. The reason why Eddie Hearn's going to be very cautious with Kell Brook, because let's be honest, other than Liam Smith, no, he doesn't even have Liam Smith. That's a Frank Warren fighter. This is his biggest junior middleweight that Eddie Hearn has. So he has to sort of coddle him along and make sure he's okay without putting him in there against a Jermell Charlo or Ezrelandi Laura.
Yeah, but you see, Matt, there's a thing between good promoting.
It's not cash out.
There's a good thing between good promoting and pampering. I think that the Harrison fight, due to the vulnerabilities of Harrison, look at all his big fights. He either A, gasses, or B, is chinny. One of the two. We haven't found out what formula exactly it is, but we know that if you put a little bit of both into your game plan, he will fold. So again, I ask you, what is the better win for Kell Brook? With all this international exposure, the Harrison fight would have been better. Rabachenko is no one. You led your opening argument with who the fuck is this guy?
But again, Ness, my argument is not about, oh, who can I get the biggest short-term money with Kell Brook? That's not the plan right here. That's not the goal as a promoter. The promoter is now thinking long-term, how do I build Kell Brook back? How do I build him into a fight that is deserving of money?
But Matt, Tony
Harrison's a fight probably in 2018 we will see.
But I'm not trying to say that Harrison is a bigger money fight or anything like that. I just think it's a fight where Kell Brook will receive more residual effects from it. The way that Lomachenko just beat a Rigo, and we're already talking him versus Pacquiao, him versus Crawford, him versus Mikey, only big things. If you beat a Rabchenko, we're still asking ourselves, should he be fighting a Liam Williams or Smith next, not another bigger name? Or, you know, excuse me?
That could be the goal. The goal may not be to catapult him back that quickly.
No, absolutely.
I think Eddie Hearn is fully aware that this fight does not do a lot for Kell Brook. Let's be complete. They know that. But that's also the point. Like, they want Kell Brook to come in here and look very good and to sort of get his feet wet again. Because two losses back-to-back against those monsters, you don't want to throw him in there against anyone that's some sort of a talent. Tony Harrison, why you said Tony Harrison has some weaknesses? He is a good boxer.
He's a good boxer, but Kell Brook is good enough to get that win, and it looks amazing on the resume.
All about the mental. You know that. It's all about getting him mentally back into it.
I hear you, man. I just say that Tony Harrison is that. Again, if you're a promoter, Matt, and you're thinking mental, what does more for your fighter's confidence, beating fucking Rabchenko or beating Harrison? And I believe that the level of risk is the same.
I don't think that at all.
Listen, all right. I know you don't. That's why we're going back and forth. Not to discredit Harrison, but I believe his vulnerabilities and Kell Brook's strong suits makes it the right fight. Whatever. It's going the Rabchenko route.
They're the same risk. Tony Harrison finished this guy. So I don't think they're the same risk. I think that's a very – I think that's not disrespectful to Harrison, but that's close. Because remember, this guy beat and finished this guy against Kell Brook right now.
Listen, man, again, Harrison beats the Rabchenkos of the world.
Of course he does.
Harrison, we question, can he beat the Kell Brooks of the world? And that's just the bottom line. But it looks better on Kell Brook's resume. No need to go. I mean, look, no need to go back and forth. Harrison, Rabchenko, whoever it is, we all know that Kell Brook, you know, is probably going to, you know, stay that Liam Williams, Liam Smith, you know, type of route, which he should. Him and Smith have sparring out there from the past. You know, maybe that's a good option for him. You know, stay kind of on the outskirts of the 54 until the Jermell Charlos of the world are a little too big to make the weight. You know, Jarrett Hurd, he seems extremely big for that division. You know, Kell's going to have to take some time, you know. Look, if you want to be nice to him, you gave him Rabchenko. Liam Smith beat Williams, right?
Yes.
Twice or once?
Twice, but the first fight was controversial.
All right, so he's not getting a third one. So then you give Kell Brook Williams, I guess, and you could finish him off with a Austin Trout. You know, take Austin to the UK, give him some good money. Southpaw, former champion in the division, but getting old, questioning himself, I want to say, and has struggled with the bigger 54-pounders. You know, he beat the Cotos of the world, but Cotto was a 140-pounder moving up quite a number of divisions throughout his career. But look, man, my final thoughts are...
Callers? Whoa.
Yeah, all right. Well, whatever. Callers.
Yeah. What do you mean, whatever? Did you just not look at Blog Talk this whole time?
I did not. Because you know why? I'm so, like, embarrassed
11 over there
of the little bit of number of thumbs up. It's like, why is this many people watching but this little bit of people?
Because everyone's tired. It's okay. It's the late night crew, late night edition.
Yeah, I love how DVD78 says Ness Judgment is suspect. Then right, his next comment is, yeah, Austin Trout would be good. Yeah, but that's all right. Listen, don't forget that the show is sponsored by A&M Credit Repair. That's AnmCreditRepair.com. Head on over to A&M Credit Repair for you can so that you can get have 100% satisfaction guarantee, because you're not going to pay one red cent until you get that credit score in all three credit bureaus up and over the 700s. Then you start discussing payment. Let's start discussing getting your life together, getting your credit right, you know, being able to, I don't know, take out an iPhone 10 maybe. Maybe you need a new car this year. Whatever the case may be, maybe you got student loans, whatever debt, all those things can be removed. Be sure to head on over to AMCreditRepair.com. That's AMCreditRepair.com. Or you can call them at 1-718-820-8580. They have Spanish-speaking operators available 24/7, and they help you repair your credit, monitor your credit, and build your credit. What no other credit repair agency can really claim to do. We're talking taking you from your low fours and fives all the way to high sevens or eights, depending on where you particularly want to be. So remember the number 1-718-820-8580. That's amcreditrepair.com. Do not forget to use the promo code TheBoxingVoice so you can save big. Why? Because Ness is not only promoting it, he's actually a client. And like I said, try me. I will DM you my screenshots of my very high 700s, you know, because I feel cocky. Not everyone can say that, you know what I mean? And you can just check yours out on like Credit Karma and Experian yourself to see where you're at. Get yourself together. We're going to go out to the phone lines. You know the number 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 time. We want you to voice your opinion here on the Voice of the People hotline. We're going out to the United Kingdom, home of Kell Brook, or at least the country, right? Sonny, talk to us.
Hey, I got to talk to you, bro. You do some amazing advertising for that company, brother. That's amazing advertising.
No, dude, it's not even advertisement, bro. I'm serious. No, it's not. I'm actually a client. I'm actually a client, and I swear to you, 30 days ago, I had a horrible score. Everyone knows I've gone through a divorce, and it's horrible when you go through a divorce. You got all type of debt and everything. Nah, it's good. I'm happy to be rid of that. And all that that comes with it. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is, yeah, no pain, no gain. You know what I mean? I had to go through some pain to actually get some gain. And I'm telling you, this company helped me. I wouldn't be promoting. You see that, you know, other than CompuBox, we've only promoted El Camino on here. Very few things get mentioned. But this is the real deal. And like I said, it's absolutely free. But anyway, get into your call.
After the show, I'm going to speak to you because my wife is from Dallas, Texas. I'm from England. I'm living in America right now. So her credit is a bit up and down for some reason. So I'm really going to look into that. But thanks to you. But I've come to invest in America. So if I ever wanted to do anything, I'm going to go through you, bro. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, so what are we talking about? Kell Brook is taking an easy fight at the moment?
Well, I mean, I don't want to be mean and call it an easy fight. It's a tune-up. I mean, and after suffering two back-to-back knockout losses, he's entitled to a tune-up. We were questioning the level of the tune-up due to, I guess, certain intangibles, right? Like Tony Harrison may not be on the same level as a Rabchenko, but his vulnerabilities put him on the level in terms of probability of Kell getting a win, in my opinion. Obviously, Matt does not agree.
But it's not that much more, is it? It's just a little notch. It's not that much more.
Exactly. But the I think that the residual effect of getting a win over Harrison will mean more than getting a win over who the fuck is that guy Rabchenko, who Harrison already knocked out.
Yeah, but come on, bro. You know and I know That's it. That was Eddie Hearn's cash cow a couple of years ago, right? He was the guy who was meant to come over here. He come and won the title from Sean Porter. He did something which he just edged it. He did what he had to do, and he put himself on the map. He was the number one or number two next to Keith Thurman, right? The man goes in with Golovkin, makes a few million, gets his biggest payday because Amir Khan's just not finding him, playing him around. He ain't getting the money from Amir Khan, but that's the fight that he wants. He'll get £4-5 million if he gets Amir Khan. Eddie Hearn knows that. Amir Khan's not playing it right now, but, you know, that's just there. So if he gets this tune-up fight, if Danny Garcia went up and fought Golovkin and lost, and then fought Keith Thurman and lost, would you expect him to fight in the top seven, top five?
No, but if there were a vulnerable Tony Harrison, and I hate to keep saying it, right? I hate to keep saying that because Harrison's gonna look at me like, damn, Ness, thanks a lot. But his gas tank and or that chin, I think. But look, you know, let's not make it about that. They didn't choose Harrison. Harrison, you know, made himself, I guess, included himself into the situation by tweeting at Kell Brook and also being a common opponent with the opponent now of Kell Brook. But I mean, let's talk. Rabachenko versus Kell Brook. Do you like the fight? Is it a good style matchup for Kell after the loss?
Like, look, I'm going to be honest. I might be from England. Originally, I'm born and bred in England. I live in Dallas. I don't like the fight. It's not making me wake up out of my chair and say, yeah, I want to watch this fight. This is what I'm waiting for. It's not one of them fights. I'm not looking forward to that fight. But at the same time, you got to understand something. Whatever happened to Kell Brook with Errol Spence came and took the heart out of Kell Brook. Kell Brook is a solid soldier in England, you know. We respect him. He came over there and he took his heart out. He took the animal out of Kell Brook. I don't even know if Kell Brook's ever going to be the same. And I'm not being biased because I'm from England, because of course I support my own. But after how Errol Spence dealt with Kell Brook, Kell Brook's only got the Amir Khan fight for money. Who else is he going to go with? Keith Thurman? Is it big money? I don't know. I think Amir Khan pays him the most because of this rivalry. I think they're playing it for that now. It's business. I'm just thinking how I feel.
Sonny, you got a point there, man. Listen, we're going to get to some other callers. Thank you for calling in. We're going to go out to New Jersey. But Sonny made a point there. And a couple of other people actually in the chat I want to make note of said the same, Matt. Is Kell Brook done? That is the question we need to ask ourselves. We're asking our listeners. Is Kell Brook done? I don't know. Let's get out to New Jersey. Rocking out with us. Late night.
Yeah, just like the king is what I mean. The king is what I mean. My man, get a cup and put some change inside your hand. Now hold up. Let's make this official. Everybody that's agreeing with it.
Kell Brook, listen, Kell Brook, whatever this fight is, say they give him that. Follow this one, Ness. Say they give him that. Then maybe they do give him Erickson Lubin at 154 and let him fight, you know, get his feet wet. Not to say Erickson Lubin's, but that's a good name should Erickson Lubin bounce back, or should Kell Brook beat him. We can say he stepped into 154. And, you know, knocked out a prospect that had only lost to a title holder, you know. So he can afford to be eased back in the game in some aspects. But the one thing we always say about, you know, and shout out to Sonny, but when we talk about them UK fighters, when they get them belts, man, they take them over there. They hold them hostage. Look what Billy Joe Saunders did. So it's hard for us to show love like that, you know. Even James DeGale, shoulder surgery, okay, fine. You let Caleb Truex go over there and take the title. So, Kell Brook, you know, on one hand, you can say, you know, he's a warrior. He stepped in there and fought class fights. But at the same time, with that reputation of holding belts hostage and then fighting Kevin Bisier and JoJo Dan, you know, at this point, 154, Yeah, I say don't give him a soft touch. Give him Erickson Lubin, then Tony Harrison. That's two big names at 154. Because if he is shot, let him come in and make a splash. And let him get shot down.
Yo, why do you want Kell Brook to die, man? He just went life and death with two real ones in Triple G and Earl Spence. Guy can't get a soft touch? Come on, man.
Yo. If he's shot, why go in there and then get his confidence up to then go in there and fight who?
Because
let him go in there.
I'll tell you
fight.
Why I mean, because Kell Brook has made some decent money, not only for himself, but for his promoter and his country, you know, his network, you know, Sky Sports. So if you can fluff him back up and give him another JoJo Dan and Kevin Bizier at 54, which Rabchenko will be and a Liam Williams will be, then you put him in there with another halfway decent fight, maybe a Lubin or a Harrison in the UK, you know, because again, remember the UK, they love their fighters. So like Brook could fight anybody. Let's see how many he sells now in Sheffield versus Rabchenko on the comeback. That's why they're hashtagging this one Rise Again, brother. They're looking for all the help they can get to, you know, motivate him or rally him back to greatness.
Fair point, fellas. Listen, yo, great show. You know I'm rocking out with y'all. Mother, roll something out, something. Keep listening, man. That's my call.
All right, Amin. Thanks for calling in. In the chat, they're saying the rich kid, Liam Smith or Williams, either or. But I'd say go with Williams since he's the one that suffered a few losses. And Smith and Brook are more familiar with each other. They have sparring that's out there. Maybe they could build that fight into a bigger domestic fight by doing the Liam William one first for a common opponent, then going after Smith as the narrative being, oh, I know this guy. I gave him work and sparring before.
Well, it's easy. You put Saddam Ali versus Liam Smith, and then you put Liam Williams versus Kell Brook. The winners fight each other.
But you see,
hello, 8-4-man tournament.
Look, don't get me wrong. I think Eddie Hearn will pay top dollar to get Kell Brook that 54 title, and they can keep it hostage. Imagine Kell Brook versus Liam Smith or Liam Williams when he has a title. It's even bigger domestically. So maybe he does another Charles Martin. Let's get back out to the callers. We got Pat 704. Pat, what up?
What's up? Can you hear me?
We hear you loud and clear. Talk to us, brother.
All right. Well, I think this is Kell Brook ain't done because this is rebranding. It's the same thing that Floyd did with himself when he went from Pretty Boy Floyd to Money Mayweather. It's the same thing that let's say Gain or any company, they rebrand themselves and they create themselves a new image. If Kell Brook was to come back at 147, it would leave, you know, he had already put in the fans' mind that it was getting too hard for him to make the weight. So it would look like that he was just saying that to build an excuse to not face Errol Spence. But the fact that he came down and defended his title against Errol Spence, I mean, there's no shame he got took from him. But, I mean, now that he's moving up, it creates interest in our minds. We're like, how is Kell Brook going to look at 54? I think it's the right touch. I think even a big welterweight that he moved up for one fight would have even been a good move. I think I'm with Matt. I think this is, I mean, he broke two eye sockets. Like, you can't expect him to go in there with a Charlo or even a Lubin. Like,
I never said Lubin Charlo or down, Lubin. Like, I never said Charlo. I said Harrison.
No. The last caller said Lubin, though.
Oh, yeah. That was Amin.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's the right touch. Like, you can't put him in there with a world beater right now. It might really end his career. Like, you got to rebuild.
90 seconds.
Boy, he's a whole new fighter. We're going to be excited to see what he can do at 54, and I think he will be a champion again.
Yeah, just keep in mind, my narrative comes from the mindset that I wanted him to have an American-based fighter so that he can keep that momentum since he fought Gennady, then he fought Earl. It's like the American public is now invested in Kell Brook. I'm thinking about his brand, and I know that he has a brand. And you know, like you said, rebranding that brand, bringing him back properly, and he can become a franchise once again, if not for 3 to 4 fights, really, Matt. I mean, look, we gave him 2 already. He's got Rabchenko. Get in there with the Williams kid. You even gave him a route to get an easy belt with Saddam. Not easy belt, but, you know, a belt with Saddam Ali. But Saddam hurt Cotto. He might go in there and knock Kell Brook out all of a sudden.
I wouldn't put that on Saddam Ali. I can see Saddam Ali maybe.
This on Saddam Ali. You know, someone told me, I didn't do the research, but I said, oh, I got a co-host who wants to act like the PED police, so let me have him do the research. Someone told me Saddam tested positive in the Olympics. It was a trainer today in the gym, actually, that is from the New York City area, Mendez Boxing. He brought a couple of fighters to my gym to spar, a couple of the pros in my gym, and we got the chit-chatting. And, yeah, he said Saddam tested positive. We were talking Luis Ortiz, obviously, because of you. Because you know why? My actual trainer heard the show yesterday. Funny, right? We're getting so big. My trainer heard the show yesterday. He's like, yo, I heard you arguing with your co-host yesterday.
Wait, no, which coach? Terrific or
Terrific.
What did Terrific say? Or should
he was just not? Laughing that we were arguing with each other and shit. That's all.
Yeah, Coach Terrific.
And we all immediately start talking to Ortiz because, you know, obviously I had to defend myself. Like, no, I wasn't arguing. It's just, you know, this fucking guy's accused.
You were arguing. You were.
No, I was trying to get you not to be pointing the finger without any facts. But anyway, let's get to Scorsese. Go.
Yo, I got to talk about Tony Harrison because somebody said I think it was you, Ness. Man, that dude only lost to Giants, man. Only lost to people who would probably whoop Kell Brook ass too. And especially Jared Hurd. That's the kind of people you keeping them away from. And he was teeing off on Jared Hurd and my man Tony.
His punches didn't have any effect on Hurd.
Yeah,
and the other giant that you claim was Willie Nelson, who got he got his ass handed to him live in front of my eyes in Connecticut versus, I believe, Chiuelo. No, not Andre. No, see, I go back further than that. I've been following Nelson for a while. I've been following Nelson since he was trained by Kelly Pavlik's trainer, bro.
Still a giant. Still a giant.
All right.
And Kell Brook don't need, like, he wouldn't probably see them L's that Tony Harrison got. He'd probably log them, too. It's just simple as that, man.
What about Tony Harrison's A, either gas tank, or B, the chin, or a combination? You're acting like that doesn't exist.
No, it ain't the chin. It's the fact that these dudes don't, like you said, they don't feel punches the way that most, especially Hurd, 154-pounders do.
But don't talk about Hurd. Don't talk about Hurd. Hurd is a champion and has obviously proven himself. Let's talk about Willie Nelson, who knocked him out.
I don't have to. We could talk about the best one, because he was whooping Hurd's ass.
Dog, he's always whooping someone's ass and gets knocked out. That's my point.
Now put Kell Brook in there. Say take them same shots, because he would take them. Tony Harrison, 6'1". Like 6'6", a long dude himself. Hurd can only trump him because Hurd's actually fucking huge for that weight.
Still talking about Hurd. Talk about the skinnier, less the underachiever in Nelson that knocked out Harrison. Brush it under the rug.
Okay, Carson Jones. Remember Kell Brook, Carson Jones. Everybody can struggle. That means nothing. A L, a close win, none of that. It's a struggle. If you struggled, you struggle.
No, it's a pattern with Harrison. It's a pattern.
What? Show me what Kell Brook fits into any of those styles. They better not put him in there with Tony Harrison. They absolutely right to call somebody that he beat up on. You told them to put them in there with a weak-minded Harrison. Now, I'm telling you, give me the eyes on that, and Tony Harrison going to thump that ass, probably break the face again.
Listen,
I'm not arguing
with you, Scorsese. You know how I used to talk about Harrison, but you cannot deny what is fact. He's proven to have some sort of chin and gas tank issues, bro.
And what high level work rate has Kell Brook brought to a fight like a Jared Hurd? What you haven't seen it. You don't. It's not. That's not the issue. The man is being pressured by bigger fighters standing in the pot. Look, I said about Tony Harrison. I see everything in him. The only thing is what you're saying. I feel like, yo, he's draining himself to make 54 potentially. I don't know. It could be the bigger pressure fight is coming on to him. But I tell you this right now. He would whoop Kell Brook ass even with Kell Brook didn't have a broken face at 154. That's just what it is, man. He beat him flat out. He hurt him. He probably knocked him out.
I don't know, man. It's crazy that we could go from Kell Brook potentially being a 60-40 in a Gennady fight to all of a sudden now, flat out, Tony Harrison to whoop him.
I told you 60-40 because I told you that was a circuit. I told you just like I said, these last couple of weight jump two things, circus fights. You know, it never meant to be a 60-40. It was meant to be a massacre, and it turned out to it. He could have got credibility at 154. Matter of fact, he proved my – Ness, you just proved my point. He jumped 54 and said, I don't need credibility there. It's too hard there. Now he has no choice but to be there. He would have got beat by multiple guys at that weight. That just is what it is.
It's possible that he would have gotten beaten, but, you know, the way that you're putting it, It didn't go down that way. It was more because of the opportunity. But, Scorsese, your time is up. Want to thank you, obviously, for calling in. Thank you for always tuning in with us. We're going out to our last caller of the night, John from Long Island. Thank you for calling in, my friend. What's going on?
I'm doing good. How's everybody doing?
We're good. We're good.
I'm not sure about these guys, Tony Harrison and stuff like that. I thought I was a pretty big boxing fan, but I never heard of that guy. But I wanted to talk about Loma the other night. Man, I was just like, wow, man. I'm still kind of like blown away from that performance because I was very curious to see how he would take, you know, like Rigondeaux's power. And dude, what the fuck was that, man? He didn't even get hit, man. The dude got like fucking like Spider-Man reflexes and shit. That shit was kind of bugged out, no?
Yeah,
Loma special.
But I don't know. Someone told me that there's been some X-rays released, and Rigo really fractured his hand. So we'll see if that's true. I haven't received them yet.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. I'm curious to see what's up with that.
So what are you saying,
I'm
Matt?
Not gonna lie.
With that
I'm
music.
I'm saying other fighters I fought with broken hands before.
That is true. Floyd fought with a broken hand. I mean,
if you're the guy that's been on social media calling the other guy out for years at this point, and you get that fight and you break your hand and you just stop in the sixth round, I don't really buy that.
He made four people quit in a row, and like I was one of the people who was kind of unsold on Loma, but I don't know, man. This dude is like a freak. He really kind of reminds me of like Pacquiao and Floyd in one because back in the day when like a prime Pacquiao, he used to have that crazy footwork, how he could move from side to side real fast, and then he's got like the hand speed like Floyd, like, I don't know, man. This kid is just, like, bugging me out lately. Like, I'm starting to
feel
like he's unbeatable.
Well, hey, listen, John.
I ain't never seen nobody defense like that, man.
John, don't want to cut you short, but you are off topic. I will tell you, you should subscribe to us on some form, whether that be iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, or wherever podcasts are found, or right here on YouTube, because we just did a show about 2 hours ago on Lomachenko and the possibility of a Mikey Garcia fight, which seems to be his next big fight that we'll be talking up. So you can go catch that definitely on the replay, on demand, on your iTunes. But it is time for us to get up out of here. Final thoughts. I hope this doesn't get received as I'm pushing Harrison. Look, Harrison was someone we had been speaking of when we mentioned the Kell Brook comeback. He obviously was listening to the show and you know, interjected himself as soon as Kell Brook mentioned his comeback. And then being a common opponent with who Kell Brook chose to come back with makes Harrison part of this triangle of sin. I am with every other caller and my co-host who feel that it's better for Kell Brook to take a Rabchenko fight. I'm all right with that. I just felt like if we're thinking marketability, we take the Harrison fight, we get the win, and we get more positive effects from that win. That being said, I'm happy to have Kell Brook back. I mean, look at the time it is, and I'm talking about Kell Brook, right? So he was able to do a few things in the sport and bring some excitement. We're going to hope that he continues to do so. I'm your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO. I cannot emphasize enough that you should subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure that you hit the bell because, man, we did a morning show very early in the morning, and we gave you the news and report on Tyson Fury failing to show up for his UCAD meeting or hearing so that he could get that license back so that he can be that missing piece of the heavyweight division. Then we came back later this evening and gave you the Loma versus Mikey news and how Bob Arum said that Mikey Garcia will get stopped just like Rigo, and it would be more Nomaschenko. And here we are back with the Kell Brook update. He's back, baby. Matt, where you at?
I am Matt the Hipster Hunter. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Matt Hunter TBV on Instagram, my MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radio is on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. And the new TBV podcast where I go solo dolo, the standing eight count with the hipsters on patreon.com/theboxingvoice. It is a Patreon only podcast. You have to go there to check it out. Final thoughts. I'm glad Kell Brook is back. There was a time where I actually think that he was about to retire. Like he ballooned up in weight. You know, there were stories of him being drunk on airplanes and stuff like that. I was actually getting sort of concerned. It's good to see him back in here in boxing. Good to see him back in here. And I think this fight's perfect for him. I think he needs a soft touch on his first comeback fight after Triple G and Spence back-to-back. Sergey Rabchenko is that guy to be a soft touch. Hopefully he wins this fight and he's a player at the 154-pound division because he is a name. He does add some value to some of those fights in that division, so can't wait to see what he does in 2018. Peace.
Later.